Today's first scripture reading is a narrative version of Psalm 141. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to hear God's word. O God, I come to you in sorrow and shame. I spoke up in my own defense today and uttered words that knifed their way into the heart of my friend. And this created a great rift between us. I would never raise my hand to strike anybody, but the tongue is more destructive than the fist, and I hurt the one I love. Heal the hurt of my friend, O Lord, and heal the sickness within my heart that forced my foolish tongue into such an irresponsible action. I come to claim your loving mercy. I pray as well that you may grant my friend the grace to forgive me. May your spirit who abides in my heart curb and control my rebellious tongue and teach me to speak words that give life and promote love in this hate-ridden world. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God.
Saved our wretched mind, be So when we were deciding where to place the choir anthem in the service, I knew I would have to follow the choir. And I said, okay, Nona, yes, that's the perfect place. Oh, that was very fun. Thank you to everyone for the many rehearsals, and to Nona and Laura, and just lots of fun. This passage that we look at today is kind of a fun break from the last few weeks. It feels a little lighter to me, and that was fun. This little interlude from the Apostle Paul that we're going to look at in a moment kind of feels like the announcements of the church service or the travel notes or something like that. And did I put my mic back on? Yeah. There's just a lot that I had to remember today. Thank you for your grace. Feels like these travel notes before you go on a tour or a long trip or something like that, but there's much more depth here. So listen again to this reading from Philippians as you would a letter. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. We're in this series with Paul's letter to the Philippians, and last week we were at the first section of chapter 2, and in the first 5 verses, Paul gave some instructions about being humble, just as Jesus Christ is, and then that hymn followed. He defined what that looked like and gave us a way or a path, a set of instructions to actually do that. And that's that hymn, beautiful hymn that we read last week, beginning in verse 6. We talked last week about how to make space for other people, how to live in humility. You can always go back and watch that. So in this section today, Paul's actually going to give us 2 more examples of people in addition to Jesus. Jesus was the primary one. And now Paul's talking about 2 more folks that are examples for us of humility and how to live in unity with one another. These are 2 good friends. They don't need any introduction. They're like his family members, as you'll hear. And he lists them in order for the people at Philippi, this small church, I said probably about 20 people, as well as for us to emulate. So the first of those people is Timothy. He had some really kind words to share about Timothy. He said he hopes to send Timothy back to them soon in Philippi, and he also shares Timothy's like his right-hand man, saying in verse 20, he doesn't have anyone else like him. Unlike others, Paul says, Timothy looks out for others and models Jesus Christ. He has proven himself. He's like a son to him and has served alongside him. And this is a pretty glowing report of Timothy, right? I would love to hear something like that as he speaks of him. We also remember that in verse 1, this letter is actually also co-authored from Timothy. It's sent from Timothy as well to the Philippian people. So they know, and he's reminding them just how wonderful Timothy is, and he shares he hopes to send him again soon to go and see his people again. After he glows about Timothy in this letter, he discusses Epaphroditus. And as I said, this seems like introductions or kind of just minor details as he writes this letter, but he actually has some really important things to say about Epaphroditus here. When I was a youth pastor for a really long time, many, many, many years, I had to write recommendation letters often. Maybe for juniors or seniors who were applying for a first job, often for colleges and other programs of study that needed me to fill out a form and really to list something specific about those students. So it became to be so much, I actually started to save those letters and things and change names. Can you imagine? Change names and try to change some of those characteristics, obviously, because each person's different. I came across an article that shared overused words by AI this week. So overused words by any of them, but ChatGPT. I haven't experimented with AI too much, but I'm told that it's really easy to tell if artificial intelligence wrote it or if a human being wrote it. So, by the way, our newsletter came out, not written by AI. This is a little plug for that. It's called the Koinonia. If you are not receiving it, you need to be reading it so you know what's going on and I don't have to talk as much on a Sunday about all those different things. You can ask Nancy about that too. Not written with AI. Here are the words overused by AI. I'm not listing all of them. The first one was hence, moreover, consequently, undoubtedly. This one's my favorite, thus. Thus. Adjectives included synergistic, ever-evolving, vital. It's vital that you accept this person. Then some nouns, tapestry, implementation, optimization. You get the picture and the flavor of kind of what those sounded like. Well, Paul focused on Epaphroditus as related to Paul and his experience, and this was like his recommendation letter for these people. He said he's his Christian brother. He said he's his faithful co-worker. He's his fellow soldier as they represent the gospel. And remember, Paul uses kind of a militaristic metaphor, and I talked about that for the last few weeks, because he's talking about being citizens of the gospel, like good citizens or soldiers representing the gospel of Jesus Christ and how we live. Epaphroditus also risked his life for the gospel. He was one of the Philippian people, and he was sent by them to minister to Paul. Paul says he took care of his needs and he brought him different things. And now Epaphroditus, I worked this all out so you don't have to. Epaphroditus is homesick, of course, for the people he loves in Philippi. That's verses 25 and 26. He misses them. He doesn't want to see them. Worry about him because he was ill on the way to help Paul. How do these people know he was sick? Well, Epaphroditus would have been carrying some money with him. Right? He had some offerings with him, and he had some other provisions that were for the Apostle Paul. And so family and friends at that time, under Roman rule, had to provide for their person imprisoned or under house arrest because the Romans weren't doing that. So Epaphroditus, he probably looked like a pack horse. He had all this stuff with him, and because of the money he carried, he probably had someone with him. When he grew ill, that person came back and said, Epaphroditus got really sick. We need to pray for him. Now Epaphroditus is with Paul, and he's worried because he doesn't want everyone else worrying. Does that make sense? That's his love for them. Epaphroditus is like the Philippians' apostle, and Paul actually uses that term in the Greek. He's an extension of that church's ministry to the world, to other people, whereas Timothy is like an extension of Paul's ministry. Kind of interesting to flesh that all out. This, again, is a really glowing letter. Paul explains how Epaphroditus relates to him as a Christian brother and relates to him personally, but he also commends him as one of the Philippian people, an apostle, a ministry leader, and someone sent out to do the church's and the Lord's work. And Paul, of course, in his situation, couldn't have lived without all of that support. Paul mentioned these men secondary to Jesus for this community to emulate. In fact, he says, honor this man, Epaphroditus, as he almost died for the work of Christ. And he did that as an extension of you when you were unable to do it for whatever reason. If he had died, he says, it would have been sorrow upon sorrow. Everyone would have mourned. He's this important person to each piece of that community. So for us, when someone is ill, when someone's hospitalized, unable to do sort of their job as the ear of the potato head or as the hand, we fill in, of course. In times of celebration and in times of grief, we're interconnected. We're interconnected as the body of Christ, and that's what we learn from these two men. Likewise, things don't fall apart when we disagree. Timothy and Epaphroditus in this letter, they show us how Christian unity works if we live the way Jesus did, in unity with one another and in service and in humility. I had a really good time, as I said, singing with the choir. I only attended a few rehearsals, and Nona kind of gave me a heads up. It was really fun. A choir or a band or an orchestra, one of the best examples I can think of is a group like that to illustrate what the body of Christ is all about. This is only because this is my experience. I wasn't an athlete by any means. Some of you have played on sports teams and things, and that's also a wonderful example of the body of Christ and our experiences. When you're part of a team, either you're playing a piece or singing, or you might be at work producing a particular product, it's so clear to us then, right, how many hands and feet and talents and minds synergize for something to be even better than it would have been if we had done so ourselves alone. And I just used one of those AI words, synergize. But you know what I mean. That word is actually perfect for what I'm talking about. Playing an instrument or singing alone or working alone is not nearly as fun or as beautiful. And while the Holy Spirit gives us each of these different abilities, as you heard me talk to the kids, the Spirit actually does so for those things to be used for others. There's a very important reason why when we read about the gifts in the New Testament, it is followed by the chapter on love. We serve in love for one another. Now, I believe the Apostle Paul is expressing this very same thing if you've sung as a choir or worked on a project at work with a really good team. That feeling you get when it comes together and it's better than it would have been and everybody's contributed. That is what Paul is talking about when he talks about Timothy and Epaphroditus and also the church at Philippi, who he's writing to. Paul has founded that church, and he's lonely. You kind of see that in some of his writing. He writes he's imprisoned or under house arrest, and he says he longs for them at the beginning of this letter. Listen to his emotion. This is back from chapter 1. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that God who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. He says, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. I looked at this morning, and I was kind of reminded of our online congregation, in fact. We think about people worshiping at home. Most of them we know. I could name some of them for you. And we miss that. We long for all of you. We miss you, and we're so glad that you're with us from afar. There is no other event, today is Mother's Day, like being a parent, becoming a parent. I think that reveals just how selfish we really are as human beings. Because you have this little baby, right? You have this child. You realize in that event, it's not all about you anymore. And it's tough. Being a young parent with young children, some of you are in that position now, was very difficult. I had twins who were a month old, and I had an older daughter at that time. She's 20 now. She was 4. And I was by myself a lot of times because my husband was deployed overseas. So I raised my 3 kids alone a lot of the time, at least for that first year and then for a couple other times. And the thing is about kids, and there are a few kids in the room, so you open your heart to them as a parent or a grandparent, even an aunt or an uncle, and at times it really hurts. When they're young, it's because they fall down, right? And some of those things that hurt them hurt us. As they get older, you really experience their disappointments, their failures or mistakes that they make, or they become angry with you, or they might ignore you. And there are harder seasons to being a family. That's why they call it family, everyone. Likewise, as I think about Paul and everything that he has been through, you would think that Paul's heart would no longer be open to people because of all the hard stuff, right, that we have to work through. But it is. We see here as we really read in depth that he realizes the power of the body of Christ, the love of the body of Christ as he is prayed for, being away from them, as he realizes his own limitations, as he accepts gifts and provisions from these people, and as he recognizes his own need for help from them and his own desire to be with them again, his own desire for fellowship. He longs to see them again. This really shows his pastor's heart towards the people at Philippi. No matter what has happened to him in the past, he desires to be with people. That includes people of churches, people of that church. And his heart remains soft. His heart is soft for the church he founded, not that they're perfect, and for the people that he remembers. I was reminded of this wonderful scripture from the prophet Ezekiel this week. He's speaking to those in exile, so they may feel kind of alone. He says this from the Lord, a new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. Then you shall live in the land I gave to your ancestors, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. The other day, I found myself feeling kind of sad, and I talked about the burden of the church a couple weeks ago. As I spoke to some of you and realized, you know, the things that you work through in your families, and we've had some people hospitalized and ill and all kinds of things that are going on. And I was actually reminded when I worked in healthcare and began to lose patients, patient after patient after patient. It was a lot of grief to carry. And it, it felt like a burden. And in this case, I would say too, I was known for falling in love with each of the patients. Well, the other day when I got home from the church, I just realized, and I mentioned it to Nona one evening, just how much I love you all. And what a blessing it is and has become to be here as your new pastor. It's so much more blessing than I actually realized would happen. I love serving here and doing what I'm doing, and I love all of you, and I just thought this was the perfect place to tell you that. So today, as we read this letter, be careful when you decide to be part of the body of Christ, and it's too late for all of you. You already are, because you start to love the others. May our hearts be soft. Amen.